In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "Is that your idea or did someone suggest it?" "Who am I, a Jew?" retorted. "Who am I, a Jew?" retorted Pilate. "Your own people have brought you to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my followers would fight to save me from those accusing me. My kingly authority comes from elsewhere." And Pilate retorted, "Then you are a king." And Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me." Today, our liturgical year ends in this glorious celebration of the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. The second reading from the book of Revelation announces boldly the identity of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ is King of kings and ruler of the kings of the earth, King of the universe. It was in 1925 that Pope Pius XI wrote the encyclical entitled Quas Primus, which instituted the solemnity of the feast of Christ the King. This feast was then adopted by many Protestant churches, including our own Anglican Communion, and we've celebrated it ever since. With this feast, the church confronted the evil spirit of secularism, that is, the idolatry of humankind worshiping themselves and the physical world as the only reality. Secularism continues to this very day, and in many ways it has grown stronger as more and more individuals isolate their activities and lives away from God. It appears that humankind worships only themselves, and even Sunday has deteriorated into just another day, no longer the Lord's Day. Secularism does not just have just a passive influence on our culture and our society. In our time, it has become an aggressive force that desires to push people out of faith, especially us Christians, off into the margins of society and to remove God from all social consciousness. Christianity is accused of being irrelevant and, yes, even problematic. References to God and Christ are seen as intrusions into individuals' personal lives. Prayer has been withdrawn from almost all the public functions. Efforts even continue to this day to remove from the Pledge of Allegiance the words, "under God." Even Merry Christmas, believe it or not, has been replaced by Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays. The excuse given is that the greeting Happy Holidays is less offensive and less intrusive. So, in response, we Christians boldly celebrate that Jesus Christ is the King of our hearts, our lives, and yes, our universe. In many ways, this commemoration is more important than ever. Today, the Gospel of St. John is proclaimed, is set the record straight. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King. God is the source of all life, all love, and in return, God rightly deserves our respect, our obedience, and our love. In addition, we are called to imitate God in God's goodness. Through the sacrament of baptism, we know well that we are destined to the eternal kingdom of God. The things of this world, while good, are not eternal and do not deserve our undivided attention. Only the King of Kings and His kingdom deserve our full attention. Jesus is the King we celebrate today. It appears that Jesus was everything in His favor. He's enthroned in glory, and we're enjoying our life in His kingdom. But that's not how things are, is it? We full well know that there is suffering in the world. We know there is still sin and temptation in our lives. It seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Well, not really. While Jesus truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He has not yet come back to take full possession of His kingdom. And that means that His enemy and ours, the devil, is still there engaging us in a battle with his lies and his temptations. The devil's main strategy is to conquer us through complacency. And I just lost my place. The devil knows that if he can fill our minds with doubt, worry, and self-centered thoughts, we'll become indifferent to God. We will also become dull to the Holy Spirit's presence and live only for ourselves. This is why the Eucharist is so important. At Eucharist, we remember and celebrate the power of Jesus' resurrection. But even more than that, we receive Jesus in the form of bread and wine. Jesus comes to feed us with His grace and His power so that we can be strengthened for that battle against complacency. Jesus' word helps us to stay clear-minded, and His body and blood give us divine grace and favor. Our reading from Daniel today paints a picture of the Ancient One, that is God, on His throne in heaven, surrounded by a cleansing fire and thousands upon thousands adoring Him. In this setting, one like a human being comes on the clouds of heaven to save God's people, that all peoples and nations should serve Him. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Now, the book of Daniel was written during the Second Temple period, which was probably written around 200 B.C., specifically during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, who forced Greek thought on the Jewish people and tried to force them to give up their faith in the one true God. The author of Daniel was trying to tell the people to hang in there, that God would raise up a Savior to relieve the people of this awful scourge. And He did. That's a title for a different time. Much the same was written by the evangelist John in his Revelation. John was writing to the Christian community of Asia Minor during and after the persecutions by Nero and the emperors who followed him. John's vision is likened unto that of Daniel. Jesus Christ has been raised to the throne of God and is the human who is to come. The human who is to come. He is the firstborn of the dead. Jesus Christ is the only one that God has ever raised from the dead as a human being. Jesus Christ has been raised to the throne of God and a human who is to come. He is the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of this earth. And He will make us to be a kingdom of priests to serve His God and Father. This brings us to that fateful day before Pontius Pilate. To declaim king in Pilate's day was a crime against the state. And Jesus is brought before Pilate by the Jewish authorities because they claimed that He said that He was the King of the Jews. They claimed that. Jesus never denies the fact that He's King of the Jews. And when Pilate asked Jesus if Jesus is the King of the Jews, He answered, "So you say. So you say." That's His messianic title, under which he was initiated heaven's reign. For Pilate, a religious kingship is still a kingship in his eyes. And even the Roman soldiers who were commissioned to prepare Jesus for execution knew that that was the issue. That's why they gave him that fake coronation, clothing him in a purple robe, and giving him a mock crown of thorns and a scepter before they lowered themselves and called out, shouted out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" It probably added on the end of it, "You pig." That same scene, the clothing of Jesus in the emblems of imperial authority, has been repeated down through the centuries by people claiming to be Christ's followers. Christian emperors did this first, both in the East and in the West. Then the popes did it. The divine right kings of Europe did it. And now some evangelical Christians still do it. All have dressed Jesus in the borrowed political clothes. They do not listen to the Gospels where Jesus clearly says that his reign is not of this present time. It's not of this present order of things. The political power they claim to exercise in his name is a parody of his claims, like the mock robe and the crown put on him and by the Roman soldiers. These purported worshipers of Jesus are doing the work of Pilate. There's a statue of Jesus Christ in the cathedral at Copenhagen in Denmark. It was a creation by the master sculptor Albert Thorvaldsen. He chose to sculpt a monumental Christ who would reveal him in all of his majesty. His hands would be raised as befitted his awesome power. His face would look regally on everyone and everything. He would be the King of Kings, the man in total control. And so it was done. Thorvaldsen said, "Jesus is the greatest figure in human history, and this statue will so represent him." Well, before the statue could be installed in the cathedral, it had to be stored away. They didn't have room for it right away. It was left in a shed near the water, and the dampness had its effect on the clay of the statue. The upraised hands drooped. They no longer commanded. Rather, they beseeched. The fiercely upturned face had lowered itself onto the master's chest. And the person who wore his face had known many problems and understood compassion. This was no longer a king before whom one would grovel and stutter, "Your Majesty." Rather, it was a shepherd, solicitous for every one of his sheep. Every one of his sheep. At first, Thorvaldsen was bitterly disappointed by this accident. And then he realized, after reflection, that this was a more accurate Jesus than the one he had originally portrayed. He left it undisturbed. His original intention had been to inscribe, "Follow my commands," on the base of the statue. But now he realized that was no longer appropriate. Instead, he chiseled the softer message, "Come unto me." To this day, this more benign and gentle Nazarene touches the hearts and spirits of those who enter the Copenhagen Cathedral. It's reported that often Thorvaldsen's masterpiece reduces its spectators to tears. In most probability, it has more of a genuine effect on them than his majestic Christ ever would have. The statue reminds them of his famous words to the puzzled Pontius Pilate when Christ responded, "Mine is not a kingdom of this world. My kingdom is not of this kind." Seeking God, seeking to fulfill God's kingdom, is our truest vocation as members of Christ's body. But openly admitting to active Christian affiliation in this nation is radically, radically countercultural. Claiming our identity as members of Christ's body and representative of God's kingdom is not always easy. We're often tempted to retreat into Christian anonymity. Through participation in the Sunday Eucharist, we come here to find the strength to claim our baptismal identity and share in Jesus Christ's kingship, becoming ever more deeply the body of Christ, the King eternal. A kingdom not of this earth, but enthroned within the hearts of those of us who continue to believe.